Ready to rumble? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wrestling News Pro Podcast, the podcast for WWE fans. Here's your host, Mike, who's not the least bit British. He just loves the accent enough to pay for this voiceover. Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back, folks, to the Wrestling News Pro Podcast. I am your host, Mike, as always, and today we are bringing you a quick little podcast on some reaction to last night's Payback pay-per-view. So, as usual, you know, the housekeeping, getting that out of the way, you know where to find us. On Facebook, we are Wrestling News Pro. You can also find us over on Twitter, if you just drop the G in wrestling, at Wrestling News Pro. You can also email us if you have any questions. That's WrestlingNewsPro@gmail.com. And we're also on Google Plus under the same name. And so we're out there. We're out and about. And you can find this podcast on SoundCloud. You can find us on iTunes. But obviously you know that, because if you're listening, you already found us. So, you know, I just wanted to jump on quick, kind of get some reactions to last night's Payback pay-per-view, which I thought, all things considered, I thought it turned out to be a pretty good pay-per-view. I mean, I enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. There were some things that were a little strange to me, like the House of Horrors match. But, you know, we'll get into that. You know, we'll just kind of start from... I mean, I thought the kickoff show stuff was fine. You know, I was surprised that Enzo and Cass actually won a match. That was cool. The Miz TV thing, it seemed a little awkward at first. I mean, not from the Miz, of course. He can do anything in the ring with a microphone. But it seemed a little awkward with Finn. I don't know if I'm alone on that front. But, you know, obviously they're setting, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they're setting up, because, you know, he mentioned Brock Lesnar there, that he wants his Universal title back, is what he said. So it'd be interesting if they go that route, which I don't think they're going to right now. Or obviously just pick right up on the Bray Wyatt stuff. So that seems like a better idea of what to do. So, you know, we'll go from there. I think obviously, and we'll get to this later, but I think the table is now set for Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar. I think that needs to happen. But jumping right into the actual card itself, we kicked off with the United States title match, which, very surprising that Jericho won. I don't know how many people would have had him picked. If you did, then God bless you. I mean, I've got to imagine, because the guy's still going on tour. Again, he's not, you know, I'm pretty sure it's May 5th. They're at Virginia Beach. I said it on the last podcast. So that was my reason for really picking Owens. So, I have to imagine that this just sets the table. I think maybe this works in twofold. One, wouldn't shock me at all if Jericho immediately drops this title on Tuesday night on SmackDown. You know, if Owens gets his rematch clause right then and there and wins it back, and then Jericho leaves, I think that works. And the other thing I was wondering was, with Jericho getting this quick victory, I thought, one, is it kind of just to throw a curveball to the fans? Because obviously WWE officials know that wrestling fans are a lot more involved now because of social media and such. So we all know Jericho's not going to be around soon. So maybe they want to just throw us a curveball. But also maybe they wanted to set up a feud upon Jericho's return. And maybe that feud, maybe that potential feuding superstar calls SmackDown home. But nevertheless, it was a good feel-good moment to kick off the show. Obviously, it's a good quality match, as you would expect out of those two. So, but again, I mean, the assumption here has to be that Jericho loses this title right away, because I mean, they're already setting the table for Owens and Styles. So, I mean, with them putting Styles as a big-time face, and now Jericho's obviously a face at the present moment. So, I mean, what are you doing there? So, you know, I think the only reasonable and logical answer is that Jericho loses it Tuesday, but I've been wrong before, as you can read by my predictions. So, after that was the jump into the cruiserweight match, which I saw a lot of negative reactions on Twitter about the ending, but I thought it was booked pretty fantastic. I mean, Neville was brought to the limit there. I mean, he had never been that close to losing his belt yet since he won it. And to win in just typical heel fashion. I mean, and people are going to want to say, oh, well, it wasn't a dominating win. He's supposed to be a dominating guy. He's had plenty of dominating wins. But at the core of it, the man's a heel. And I thought that was very old school sort of sneak out the victory, you know? Just pull it right out from under him. I thought it was classic. I thought it keeps the feud going. Because if Neville wins there, what's the point of doing it? And, like, you know, if Neville wins there, that's already multiple victories against Austin Aries. We can just end that feud now. And they weren't ready to take the belt off Neville. So, all things considered, I thought that was a brilliant way to do it. But maybe I'm in the minority, and that's okay. I don't need to be in the majority. So, yeah, I thought the first two matches of the night definitely delivered. I mean, and then we go into the third match, the tag team title match, which, I mean, most people had to have known this was going to go down, but I'm happy it did, and I'm happy the way that it did. Obviously, the physicality of it was that the Hardy Boys were going to win, but Sheamus and Cesaro were, that was it. They were going to lose it. The sportsmanship was out the window. That was it. They were done. And obviously, you saw them. I mean, they acted on that, and that was a brutal beatdown at the end of that match. And I thought it was a great way to, again, WWE last night did a good job, especially in those two matches there, of keeping the feuds going, but keeping them going, but doing it the right way, doing it in an intriguing way, you know, because now you can go the next night on Raw now, you can have Austin Aries come out and say, I took Neville to the limit. And if not for this, I'm champion. So I want another match. And then there you go. There's another day, and the feud goes on. I don't think fans are sick of that feud yet. I mean, I know I'm definitely not. And then now this whole idea of Sheamus and Cesaro, you know, just kind of losing their cool. It's a completely new dynamic to the program. So I thought they did a good job. I mean, like the outcomes or not, I thought they did a good job in keeping these feuds going. So I enjoyed it quite a bit. Then after that was the women's title match, which I thought was, I know Alexa Bliss is no pushover. I know she's good in the ring, and I know Bayley's good in the ring, but I wasn't expecting them to work that well together. A lot of these matches on the card last night were quality. They were good. Had some good suspense, had some good moments, some good pops. But this was, it felt to me, was the best worked match between the two wrestlers. I thought it was fantastic. And now, I mean, I went from saying, just get the strap off of Bayley and let's just move on to Sasha and Alexa Bliss. But now, I mean, I'm ready to see these two do it again. I thought it was awesome. I had a great time watching this match. And obviously, I'm very happy with the outcome. Bliss is just, she's so good, man. She's such a good heel. She's good in the ring. She is one of the best all around. I mean, with the exception of, Charlotte and Sasha, we already know they're one in a million. But Alexa is just so well-rounded on the mic and in the ring. And it's great. I'm pumped to see where this goes. Again, I'm still maintaining that this feud is gonna be involved with Sasha Banks, and it's going to go on, and it's going to, I think it's going to end up with, and I hope it will, a triple threat match at SummerSlam. That's my hope, because I think those three girls can really create something fantastic. And I've said this before, I'm not sure if it was just on Twitter or if I said it on the podcast, so forgive me, but I mean, Sasha Banks lost the belt in Boston, in her hometown of Boston. She lost it at Hell in a Cell. Charlotte lost it in her hometown one night on Raw to Sasha Banks. And now you have Bayley losing her title in her hometown. So, translation, Alexa Bliss should stay the hell out of Columbus. So, if there's a Raw coming up in Columbus, she should bang off sick or something. But, yeah, fake a hamstring injury, something. Because that seems to be the theme. But after that, we had the House of Horrors match. Which, I mean, I don't know what I was really expecting. I don't know what anybody was really expecting. It just seemed awkward to me. I don't, like, inside the house, it did, the house really, it didn't seem like a House of Horrors, really. It just seemed like a house that was probably in foreclosure that needed some serious renovations in the kitchen. I don't know. I'm not being a negative guy here on this pay-per-view because I loved this pay-per-view, but there's always a low point in this paper. There's always a low point in pay-per-views, and I think that was our low point. Was the House of Horrors, the first half of the House of Horrors match, which was in the house. I thought the end was a little strange, but I'll get to that in a moment as well. Whatever, I don't know. It didn't do anything for me. If it did something for you, then God bless you. But the whole idea of just it seemed awkward, and then Bray leaves in Randy's limo. How does Randy get back? Why is it dark out, but yet they're in San Jose, and God knows it's not dark out at that time. I don't know. Maybe because I'm older as a wrestling fan, and I can see through certain things, and I don't always get caught up in moments like these, I guess. So I don't know, it just didn't work for me. Then you went to, you know, later on, they ended up getting back to the ring. I thought it was cool that Orton was there to meet him. I thought that was a nice little surprise, and then. And they do battle, and I thought what they were doing in the ring was better than the portion of being in the house. But then you had the Singh brothers and Jinder Mahal come out. Now listen, I'm officially buying in on Jinder Mahal and this whole Singh brothers and this whole thing they're gonna do. I'm buying in. I'm not buying a T-shirt, but I'm buying in. But I really don't think they spent so much time on this feud, and I thought it deserved to get a better ending than outside interference from a secondary feud that Orton is about to embark on. I thought that was important, that it had an ending. It had a proper ending. All good stories. There's certain things that a story needs to really be good, whether it's a movie or whether it's a wrestling feud. It's only as good as its villain. Its villain needs to be great. And you need a proper ending. You need a way to end it all in a very climactic sort of fashion. And I mean, I think that's what they were trying to achieve at first with the House of Horrors theme. But it completely went out the window with the Singh brothers and Jinder Mahal. It was like just a mesh of the two feuds. So, I mean, I'm happy Wyatt won. I wanted that. I think he needed that. But as much as he needed it, I think it's just as counterproductive in the way that he won it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense at all. And I mean, like, I'm watching over the match now, actually, as I'm recording this podcast, and it's just a lot of awkward things. Like, if Orton sees Wyatt in the threshold of the doorway, in the threshold over by the other area of the house, why is he spending so long looking around the living room? Like, your first thing, and that's the other thing, like, when he goes into the room with all the dolls, like, he picks up a doll and, like, looks at it. Like, he's got all the time in the world. Like, he's shopping or something. Like, you got a maniac in that house of quote-unquote horrors that wants to kick your ass. I'd be a little more concerned with him than wondering why there's babies hanging from the ceiling. I would just walk in and say, well, this is par for the course because Bray Wyatt's out of his mind. Let me go find this guy. But whatever. I just think that it's like, and now you see on Twitter a lot, because obviously, as always, as I tell you, when these shows are on TV, you should be on Twitter, because it is so much fun reading everybody's tweets. It's also cool, because you get a lot of other perspectives than just your own, it's not always just about what you think, but you get a lot of feelings on social media that people are really frustrated with the way Bray Wyatt is booked. With the way his character's used. And, like, last night was, like, you gave him, it was, like, almost like a backhanded compliment, sort of. Like, you gave him the win, but how'd you give him the win? It doesn't really make him look all that strong. The goal, what I said in my predictions, what my hope was that to make Bray look strong, since the title's not on the line, Bray needs to win. Just like how Strowman needed to win clean. I thought Bray needed to win this clean. Orton's champion. He's going to be fine. But Bray needed this. And you give him this sort of half-ass win. And I think you're always going to run into a situation with Bray. Bray's kind of a victim of his own intrigue. You know, a victim of his own persona. As in, people want to so often just refer to him as, you know, The Undertaker today, you know, of having that kind of mystique or that sort of over-the-top character. The one that, you know, is more than just between the ropes. It's like a bit of a mindfuck, you know. And I think that's, so Bray is always going to be put on that sort of comparable line with The Undertaker, and he sure as heck has never booked the way The Undertaker was or is, so you're always going to get that negative sense of, like, man, like, what are they doing with this guy? Because then they expect, what do they do with The Undertaker? And they're not going to be the same. They're not, you know, and I think Bray is kind of a victim of that himself. But so, that match ended the way it did. I mean, I thought it was cool that Jinder was there, just not under the circumstances that he was. I would have been completely okay with if they did, you know, let's say Wyatt wins clean and he leaves the ring and all of a sudden, like, as Orton tries to get his bearings and get up, then you get the Singh brothers and then you get Mahal to come out and, you know, give him an old-fashioned beatdown. Because in that way, you kind of put the exclamation point on the Wyatt family feud. You say, all right, this is ending, and here's a new beginning. But, you know, again, they're not always going to do things the way I want them. So I thought that match was the least effective match of the night. Then you go into the Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe, which it kind of was what I thought it would be. I guess I was expecting a little bit more. I mean, a lot of people say this on Twitter, and I forget who said it, so I apologize, but some guys were saying that, like, Rollins is just not that good as a face. He doesn't really have an intriguing quality about him when from a good guy standpoint. I think he'd be better utilized as a bad guy, but you know, obviously, they're not going to go that route right now. So, and I thought, I mean, of all the matches, like, I thought Bray needed to win. I thought Braun needed to win. I don't think Samoa Joe needed to win. I just thought it would be a nice feather in his cap to get a big pay-per-view win to kind of get himself on the map here. But, so, I mean, it doesn't break my heart that he lost. Again, I think this is just another way, though, that WWE booked this match is to say this feud is not over. Like, Rollins got this cheap sort of pinfall victory here. I mean, good way of hooking the leg, and it looked like Samoa Joe's shoulders were up, which maybe they can go that route tonight, too. But, you know, clearly this feud's not over. Clearly this feud's going to go on for a little bit longer. So, I mean, the match didn't blow me away, but for what it was, you know, it was fine. It was cool. I mean, I'm more curious to see where this goes tonight on Raw, and if it's clearly going to keep going, or if these two guys are going to move in other directions. Lastly was our main event, Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns. I am more than pleased with this outcome. You guys have listened to me before. You guys have read some of my stuff before. You know I'm a big Roman Reigns guy. I love Roman. I think the hate's gone too far. Quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of it. I think it's just the trendy, cool thing to do, so therefore people do it. They don't even know why they don't like him, really. They just see the rest of the row booing, so they boo along with them. But I thought this match was, the way it was done, was absolutely perfect. I have no complaints or qualms about it. I have no issues with this match. None. I thought Braun needed to win this match clean so bad, and he got it. And it's, listen, Reigns is, you know, the guy. So you're not going to get a lot of these clean victories off of Roman. They're just not going to happen that often because he's like the new John Cena, or, you know, the new big-time faces that have come before. So this was huge. And I love the brutality at the end with the steel steps. I thought that was brilliantly done, and it just continued to really sell the beatdown. The only thing, actually, I mean, I think this feud needs to end now. I think they're done. But I think this is going to continue to go on because Brock Lesnar is sitting at home washing his tights. You know, the universe is collecting dust, so these two need something to do. So I have a feeling where this isn't going to end here, especially because if you stayed tuned after Payback went off the air and then Raw Talk came on, they showed them trying to get Reigns to the ambulance, and then Braun he takes one half of the back door off of the ambulance trying to tackle Roman Reigns, and then Roman proceeds to slam the other door on Braun Strowman repeatedly, you know, three or four times. And then Braun just walks off like a classic cartoon, you know, monster who's, you know, he's been hurt, but he's not beaten, you know. You hear him groaning and holding his arm as he runs off. So I thought that kind of left it open as to, like, this feud still might not be over. But I thought it was brilliant. I'm very happy that Braun won this match. And I'm really happy that he won it clean. It was perfect. I'm telling you, and I've said it a couple times last week, and I said it last night on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again today, right now, is that Braun Strowman needs to come out tomorrow night, well, tonight on Raw, and he needs to say, I want Brock Lesnar or else. Drop the mic, walk out. It's time. It's time. His momentum is sky high right now. It is literally sky high. He's put on memorable moment after memorable moment on Raw, and he just beat the big guy clean. There's never a better time. There will never be a better time to put Braun Strowman in a title match against Brock Lesnar than there is right now. And people want to talk about how Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg was like, whatever. Some people reference that as being like Superman and, I guess, like Doomsday, you know? That bullshit. This thing Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. This is Superman Doomsday. These guys are going to fight till the end of time. I think it's fantastic. And as usual, Reigns was a good worker in the match, as always. Sold his injuries well. I thought the spear was terrific. And Strowman is just a pro, man. He's the real deal. It's amazing how far he's really come. So, but we'll see where all this leads to tonight on Raw. So that's going to do it for right now. I know this is quick. I know it's only about 25 minutes or so, but just wanted to get my reactions out there on the pay-per-view. I definitely thought it was a plus, big-time plus. You know, no pay-per-view is going to be perfect, especially this day and age with fans wanting and clamoring for things the way that they do. But all in all, very strong pay-per-view coming off of WrestleMania. Very strong. And I look forward to now that we kind of had this pay-per-view was kind of like to kind of settle things from feuds that were still going on prior to the Superstar shakeup. So I think now we can get on to the rosters being completely separate and we can go on from there. And I look forward to it because I think there are some compelling storylines. So my only big takeaway from this in a negative fashion was that I really wish they would have done more justice to Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. But that's going to do it for today. So again, like and share this. Give us some reviews on iTunes. Got another review recently. Appreciate that. Keep them coming in because it only helps me more, which helps you more. And I'm going to try and get another podcast to you guys out later in the week. We'll talk about that soon. And that's about it. So got some good pieces coming up. Actually, our boy Nathan wrote a good piece on we're doing our, again, with the if they were in WWE today. And our boy Nathan put out a terrific piece on Wade Barrett. So I was always a big Wade Barrett guy. So I enjoyed reading that myself. And he sure as hell enjoyed writing it. So I think you should definitely give that a look. And while you're at it, if you want to check out the week prior to that, our first installment was about John Morrison. So feel free to check those out. There'll be more on the way. There'll be more pieces coming up on the site this week. So find us everywhere. Google+, Facebook, Twitter. We are there. And we will be live tweeting during Raw tonight. So look forward to talking to you guys on Twitter. And if not, I'll catch you on the flip side. Cheers. Yeah!